In a few weeks, maybe by the time the fall rolls around, the Lord willing, we hope to begin an extended series of lessons as we have preached in times previously regarding the church, that is, Jesus' church, which will take several months, the Lord willing, to pursue and complete. But before that time, before we get into that, some individual lessons have come to our minds that we believe would be most helpful, not only to ourselves, but to the local church here, the Central Brooklyn Church of Christ, as we are going through various difficulties, and not only personal, individual difficulties with sickness and various trials that we are experiencing at this particular time that cause threat not only to physical life, but even to financial conditions and other situations. We find ourselves needing a quality that can only be brought about by God as we submit to His Word under these various trials. And that is the quality of patience, the attribute of patience. And that's why we have chosen to delay or put aside those lessons regarding Jesus' church, which are needed and which will be most enlightening from His Word and encouraging to the new Christians who have never heard those lessons, and to the older Christians who can be reviewed and revived and rejoice again in those truths. But we put them aside for now because patience, a quality of the divine nature, developed and produced through trials as His Word works within us. This is what we need to study. It is most needed at this time, and it is something that we, none of us, has enough of, but something that is sorely needed in our lives if we're going to continue, not only as Christians, but in whatever relationships that we have in this life, then patience is sorely needed, and not just the superficial patience that the world tries to talk about, but the divine reality and attitude of patience that comes about only from God. We live in an instant-oriented society where patience is neither highly valued or encouraged. And when people in the world say many times that, oh, please be patient with us, basically what they mean is simply resign yourself and accept whatever terrible thing is happening, whatever difficult is happening. But there's no, it falls far short of what the Bible has in mind when we talk about patience, true patience. And yet, in every aspect of life and endeavor, patience is so desperately needed. That is, if we would accomplish anything of value, of lasting value, then it must be done with patience. It cannot be done, that is, accomplishing anything of any good, of any lasting good, if we don't have patience. When we think about patience accomplishing good, we could note a few examples, and there are multitudes of examples that we could bring to mind. We think about a sleepless mother who continues to awaken and care for the child who is ill. And she goes through and endures a night or several nights and days of suffering of her child, but she sacrifices with the hopefulness that her child may become better by the grace of God and the power of God. We think of a teacher who repeatedly and patiently explains information that is difficult for the student to comprehend and to apply. And yet, because of the patience of that one, the student is eventually able to grasp those things which were initially seemingly impossible for them to understand. We can also think of the marathon runner that endlessly and habitually practices that they may endure the 26.2 miles of agony to complete the race and experience joy, and then after many practices in the race, they continually strain, patiently applying those things even under great pain so that they may complete the rigorous race which they have practiced for, which they have started. Yes, impatience will ruin the accomplishment of any great good in any area of life, including living the Christian life. If we are not patient, then we're not going to be able to accomplish anything of any good. As Christians, patience is to be a central part of our new character in Christ. It is something that is emphasized over and over again in the Word of God. And it is God Himself who perfectly displays patience before us. Not only the Father, but the Lord Jesus, as He was living upon the earth, displayed patience in a perfect way. And not only that, God gives so many other additional examples. So many other additional examples of how we should be patient. Those that we should follow. God develops patience as we go through trials and we submit to His Word. That is, we submit to His Word, and as we submit to His Word, He forms, is able to bring us through the patience, with patience that we need to His glory and to His honor. And it's only in these trials that patience comes about. There's no other way. And certainly none of us can argue over the last several months. We have not only had our individual trials that we maybe have gone on for a long period of time among us, but there have been added trials with the COVID-19 challenge, the church not being able to meet and regularly worship together, other types of challenges that have come about that seem much more problematic when we're under these other trials that have settled in for now 4 and 5 months and maybe longer. And so there is a great need for patience, not only now, but every day of our lives. And so we ask the question, what is patience? What does it mean to be patient? Patience is commonly defined as being able to wait for something. However, the Bible meaning is broader than this. While it includes waiting, It also includes the idea of enduring. That is, standing up under difficulties and not doing so with a grim resignation of that things are so bleak and black that they will never turn around again, but standing up with a hopefulness that God is working something good, not only in our circumstances, but especially in our character, that we may become patient as He is patient. That patience goes beyond waiting is clear from the two Greek words in the New Testament that describe patience. And we depend upon men who have written down these things that we might understand clearly the definitions of these Greek words that mean patience. The first one is macrothumia. Macrothumia. And that is Mr. Strong numbered that word as G for Greek 3115. The word means patience. More particularly, it means long suffering. It comes from the two words makros, long, and thumos, temper. And it's usually rendered long suffering. That's what Mr. Vine, W.E. Vine, tells us in his dictionary, Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. The King James Version translates that word many times long-suffering. It also translates that word patience. The New American Standard Bible translates that word most often patience, and that's why it's harder to distinguish this word and the next word we will study in the New American Standard Version Bible. Because it translates that word long-suffering, which is more descriptive, simply by the word patience. But when we look for that word macrothumia in the New Testament, one example would be speaking about the patience of God in the days of Noah, when God waited 120 years, to express His wrath against a violent world that was generally not repenting from the violence it was inflicting upon itself, the murderous violence. And then God waited 120 years before He sent the flood, saving Noah in the ark with seven other souls in his family, but destroying the world that refused to repent, although they had opportunity also to be saved by the grace of God in the ark. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Who once were disobedient when the patience, more particularly the long-suffering of God, kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark in which a few, that is eight persons, were brought safely through the water." God was long-tempered. God held His temper. God suffered through the violent actions of humanity, waiting for them to repent 120 years before He brought the flood and destroyed humanity except for eight souls, the family of Noah. To be long-tempered, to suffer long. Yes, patience means to suffer long. Then the word hupomone. Hupomone. It's Mr. Strong's word G5281. That's the way Mr. Strong numbered it in his Greek dictionary. It means, as Mr. Vine says, an abiding under. From the two words hupo, under, and meno, to to abide is almost invariably rendered patience. It means a patience which grows only in trial. That's what Mr. Vine tells us in his Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. The King James Version translates it patience and also enduring. The New American Standard Bible says endurance or perseverance, which is really more descriptive. To endure, to persevere, to stand up under trial. To abide under, to stand up under, whatever the trial may be. And when we look for an example of that word hupomeno, in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance of the sin which is so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance, that's that word, endurance, the race that is set before us, the quality of abiding under trial. So we see from those two words that patience means to have a long temper, to be able to suffer long, not just waiting, but suffering long and abiding under, holding up under trial and continuing in the service of God in spite of the trial that may be assailing us, or the trials as it would be. Why should we be patient? Because God commands us to be patient. We cannot please God without becoming a more patient person in this world. God commands us to be patient. When we are patient, we also become like God, who is perfectly patient. Patience is accomplished when we submit to His powerful Word that works within us to change our thinking and our conduct. And so we are to become patient because God commands it. And because when we become patient, we become like the one that we are to worship and love and reverence and fear and follow, we become like God. We become like Him. And that is why we are in this world, to become like God so that we may honor and glorify God. Not only in our worship, but in our daily lives. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, Peter said, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. God has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. That is, to all that we need in this life to serve Him, to please Him. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, that you may become like God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying with all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, that is, moral courage, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, that is, of God's Word, and in your knowledge, self-control, under the control of God. And in your self-control, perseverance, that is, being able to abide under trial and continue to serve God no matter what may come. And in your perseverance, godliness, that is the ability, the quality of honoring and serving God. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love, that sacrificial, self-sacrificing love that Jesus had when he went to the cross to die for the sins of the world. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, patience is not just a one-time acquisition, it must continue to increase along with all of these other qualities that we just read about. And are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. That is, God would have us supply these qualities within our character through his word with great diligent practice, that we may abide under trials and become fruitful in his kingdom and increasing in these qualities, including patience, endurance, perseverance, day by day. Paul said something a little bit differently in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 when he said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience," and the word there is long-suffering. That is to be long-tempered in the spite of provocation or difficulty. Long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That is the fruit of the Spirit. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, and let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And so the Christian is supposed to develop the fruit of the Spirit with the help of God, crucifying the deeds of the flesh, becoming long-suffering, long-tempered in the face of provocation or in the face of difficult, stressful suffering that comes to him or her. How does God develop patience within us? Well, we've mentioned it several times. God reveals to us examples of those who were patient, that we might learn to imitate them, just like a child would imitate a parent. We learn to imitate God by meditating on him as an example and other faithful men and women that he has given to be examples of patience through following his word. And then God provides us with trials in which we have opportunities to learn and practice patience. That is long-suffering and endurance. And certainly no one can argue that we are living in a special time where our patience is being tested. Will this be the greatest testing of our patience? I don't know. There's no guarantee that this is the greatest test. There might be a greater test. But certainly this has gone to a level that truly is testing and giving us opportunity to develop patience with the help of God. And so how does God develop patience? Well, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient, is long-suffering toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. So God is waiting today, and Jesus has not come in 2,000 or so years. Why has God delayed, or why is God waiting and Jesus has not come again to deliver his kingdom to the Father? Because God is long-suffering, in enduring the sins of humanity, but waiting so that all who would come to repentance might come to Jesus and be saved by the grace of God and power of God through the blood of Christ, through obedience to the gospel of Christ. And so God is an example to us of being long-suffering. Not only God the Father, but Jesus a great example to us about enduring, persevering, even under trial. And the greatest trial being the cross, where the Lamb of God voluntarily sacrificed himself for the sins of humanity, that we might be forgiven and have hope of being in eternity, eternal glory with God. Hebrews 12 and verse 1 again, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. That is, we are running the Christian race, the Christian life, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured, persevered the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. What he's telling us is that Jesus set an example of endurance, of perseverance, even through the cross. But he is now glorified at the right hand of God, ruling over heaven and earth as priest and king. But that did not come about before he, and without him enduring the trial of the cross. And then we have the wonderful passage of James, where not only do we have Jesus and the Father, examples of patience and the Spirit, but we have the prophets as well as Job pointed out to us as examples of those who imitated the patience of God and can be an encouragement to us as we seek to be patient. In James chapter 5 and verse 7, therefore be patient, long-suffering, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient, long-suffering about it, until it gets the early and late rains. Is there ever a successful farmer who is impatient? No. He must be long-suffering and wait and work as God through nature does its work to bring about the fruit that he so desires to harvest. Verse 8 of James 5, you too be patient, long-suffering. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Do not complain, brethren, against one another, so that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, long-suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. And how many prophets did God send to the nation of Israel? And many of them preached for many years and had to endure the scorns and violence and oftentimes were murdered by their fellow Jews who rejected the Word of God. And yet with long suffering they continued to teach and what God had commanded them to do in spite of all. Then James chapter 5 and verse 11, we count those blessed who endured, and there's the word persevere, the other word for patience, who stood up under trial and still serve God. You have heard of the endurance, the perseverance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealing, that the Lord is full of compassion and is merciful. But that did not happen until after Job had endured, had learned to stand up under the great physical and material suffering that had been inflicted upon him by Satan. Loss of all of his possessions and riches and children, his 10 children, and even the scorn of his wife and his friends and his own personal suffering short of death, but excruciating daily suffering from which there was no relief. And Job stood up under trials, hoping in God that even if he perished, he would eventually see God. I know that my Redeemer lives. Job 19, verse 25. And then 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10 in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul holds himself out as an example of patience. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10, now you followed, he wrote to Timothy, my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, his long-suffering and his perseverance, covering the whole scope of patience. And certainly the trials that the Apostle Paul, beaten many times, left for dead several times, falsely accused by both contentious brethren and his enemies, the Jews as well as the Gentiles. Certainly he had many trials that gave him much opportunity with the help of God to develop the divine quality of patience. And then we read in James 1 and verse 2. James 1 and verse 2, the consoling passage. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Is that what we're encountering now, various trials? It is. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. That is perseverance, the ability to stand up under and continue serving God and rejoicing in God's will, no matter what the trials may be. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfected, you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How are we ever going to know if we're patient unless that patient has an opportunity to be tested and developed, that we may increase, if we have already a little patience, that we may have more? And that only comes about in difficulties. I firmly believe, as we come to the summary slide and we have to stop at this part, and Lord willing, continue next week, I firmly believe that it is impossible for the human being to become patient, to develop long-suffering and endurance, perseverance, except by the Word of God. That all other attempts will be futile, and that true patience can never be realized, because that is a divine quality. That is a quality that is not, if man is in the flesh and has a mind hostile to God, that is not a quality that man seeks to embrace and develop. And even if he does, he does not have the ability to develop it himself by his own thinking and by his own endeavor. This is part of the divine nature, perfectly expressed by God, exemplified in his word through himself and other godly examples, and given to us in trial. As we submit to his word, only then we increase in that divine quality that makes us more like God and less like Satan, that we might become long-suffering and endure as we go through trials and rejoice, unlike the world, in serving God and worshiping and praising him and becoming more like him day by day to his glory and to his honor. What is patience? It is long-suffering and endurance. Why should we be patient? Because God commands it. And when we become patient, we become like him. How does God develop patience? By setting godly examples, himself included, and Jesus, and others, Old Testament and New, for us to imitate, and bringing us trials so that we might choose to become patient, trust and hope in his purpose and provision, and rejoice in his will as we go through these trials, which truly give us an opportunity that we would not otherwise have unless we are allowed to go through them in this life. We would encourage all now, as we have closed the lesson, for our application and consideration and meditation, for those who have never become a child of God, to not waste your life. God has intended us to glorify him in this life and to worship and praise him and have a relationship with him through Jesus. And God has sent Jesus to the cross that we might be forgiven of our sins, which we have chosen to commit against God and have made us enemies of God. God has raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand, making him Lord and King and priest after he died for the sins of the world, opening the way to heaven so that we might one day have eternal life. If you believe in Jesus as the Son of God and are willing to repent of your sins, turn from your sin to God, and are willing to confess Jesus as the Son of God before men, then be baptized today, immersed in water. Take the last step. Be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. In the name of Jesus, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of your sins, buried with Christ, raised up with him by the grace and power of God through the blood of Jesus, trusting in God to do so as you are raised up out of the water. Why not do that today while God has given you life and is waiting for you to come to repentance and obedience to the gospel? And those who are already Christians, let us repent and pray. Turn from our sins. Become, by the grace of God, more like him as we seek to have our mind renewed by the Word of God as we apply it. We become more like God, which is the purpose for why we have been placed in this life. If anyone is subject to that gospel invitation, we encourage all to respond while God is patiently waiting as we close the lesson for today.